Bachelor. This is the new John Bachelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome Richard Goldberg of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy as a senior fellow to help me understand the non-transparent conversations in a hotel in Vienna between Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and in some fashion, the United States of America, the Biden administration. Though these are said to be around the corner, back stairs, the conversations are leading to the Biden administration's ambition to rejoin or reawaken or reengage the JCPOA, the Iran deal of 2015. Richard, you have a column at the National Review Online that identifies things to be answered in this negotiation. And the first is the Senate itself. You recommend that the Senate, bipartisan Senate, ask for or request a vote on the codicils of the agreement. It's not a treaty. It's an agreement. How does that work in Senate protocol? Good evening to you, Richard.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. I have to say, a hotel in Vienna sounds like a horror movie you would see on Netflix, and indeed it is a horror movie playing out right now for U.S. national security. Back in 2015, when the debate was roaring in the Congress, with the Obama administration moving toward the JCPOA, there was a bipartisan piece of legislation passed. Wasn't great, but at least it was something, to require the Obama administration to submit the JCPOA to Congress in lieu of it being a treaty so that the House and Senate could review it and then vote to disapprove of the measure. And in that time period of review before the vote, no sanctions could be lifted. Now, the House actually did vote to disapprove at the time. It was controlled by the Republicans. The Senate could not clear the cloture margin of 60 votes. And so that was it. And sanctions were lifted and the JCPOA went forward. But the text of that legislation, which is called the Iran Nuclear Agreement Review Act, or INARA, doesn't actually just pertain to the JCPOA. The language is very broad and says any agreement with Iran related to its nuclear program that requires the lifting of sanctions must be submitted to Congress for review. And so the question now is, will the Biden administration abide by that law? Will the Congress, House and Senate, require them to abide by that law and say, listen, this is a new agreement. You can claim you're trying to go back to the old agreement, but the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, has already told us the technical steps that will be needed to reverse what Iran has done will require a new agreement. You are going to be potentially lifting additional sanctions that the Trump administration imposed after JCPOA. You're now reportedly going to lift terrorism sanctions on Iran after you told the American people in Congress in 2015 we were allowed to impose terrorism sanctions on Iran during the JCPOA. So fundamentally, this sounds like a new agreement as defined by the law. And so members of both parties should say, you're going to go forward with what we think is a very bad deal. We want to see it first before you lift sanctions and get to have our vote on the measure.
Some fundamentals about what we do know of these negotiations. My understanding, Richard, and help me if I generalize too much, is that not only is the negotiation about the suspect nuclear weapons program, and you mentioned the IAEA, but also about ballistic, it could be about ballistic missiles. It could be about predation in the region. It could be about exporting terrorism. I'm not certain it is. Is that part of the conversation in Vienna? It was not in 2015.
Well, this is what's troubling is you've seen very much as we saw under the Obama administration where you started with certain red lines for negotiation and slowly but surely they caved to all of the Iranian demands. This administration had already started with a little bit of a weak negotiating posture saying they wanted to get back to the deal, but they wanted to do so with a commitment from Iran to start negotiating over missiles and terrorism and other regional issues, as they called it, to negotiate longer sunsets to the nuclear requirements of the deal, tougher inspection requirements as well. All of that seems to be gone now. There's no more talk of a longer, stronger, better deal that we heard for months from the early Biden administration and during transition. Now they simply say the goal is merely to get back to the old deal. which really raises the question, why would you want that to be the goal when the deal didn't cover all of these other malign activities, terrorism, missiles, their meddling inside other countries, human rights, taking hostages of American citizens. The deal is expiring, even if you think Iran would agree to it. The sunsets have already started kicking in last year with the arms embargo. In 2023, requirements on missile restrictions go away. 2025, major centrifuge restrictions go away. By 2031, Iran is allowed to enrich all the way up to weapons-grade uranium under the deal, under legitimate auspices of the international community. And so it makes no sense to want to go back into this deal to be the final resting place of American national security. But indeed, that's what we see at the table right now.
Sanctions, and there are a broad range of sanctions. There is chatter that the sanctions are already not being lifted, but not being enforced. Is that accurate, Richard?
It is. If you look at the data and the reports coming in, particularly on the oil sales of Iran, there have been no enforcements to crack down on a massive ramp up in exports to China from Iran since this administration took office. We also have reports of an easing of access to foreign exchange reserves, particularly in South Korea. We know that the Iranians had seized a South Korean tanker early on this year to leverage it for access to South Korean bank accounts where Iranian funds were being held. It appears that that actually was relaxed for the by the Biden administration to allow the Iranians access to those funds. We've seen reports of access to funds being allowed elsewhere, Oman and Iraq. So there's absolutely been this easing of sanctions. And what's so troubling and so just depressing about it is all of these talks come as the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, released an updated 2020 report on Middle East countries and their foreign exchange reserves. And Iran, at the end of 2020, was down to just $4 billion in accessible foreign exchange reserves, down from $122 billion in 2018. This regime was heading towards collapse. And in the 12th round before the knockout, the Biden administration took a knee.
The Republicans have hopes for 2022. You mentioned in your National Review piece, history says that the party out of the White House power gains seats in the first midterm. Is that hope and not a plan, Richard? Your measure of this? Are the Republicans of one about reimposing some sort of sanctions in the worst case scenario that everything is lifted?
So I don't think that that is a legislative plan. I think you're right. That is a legislative hope. Frankly, in a 50-50 Senate with people like Joe Manchin serving, who oppose the Iran nuclear deal, who supports terrorism sanctions on Iran, you could see Republicans, even in this Senate, this year, try to attach an amendment to the defense authorization bill later in the year to require the reimposition of terrorism sanctions on Iran and have that actually get through on a vote. And it would be an interesting vote in the House as well with so many vulnerable Democrats up for reelection. But the more important piece of this is it's not about whether or not they can do it or they will do it. It's about whether the market perceives a risk. Because it's one thing for diplomats to agree to lift sanctions. It's another thing for multinational corporations to say, I'm going to take advantage of sanctions relief and sign a long-term contract in Iran. That's what they did in 2015, and they got burned in 2018 when Trump pulled out of the deal and reimposed sanctions. And so the point here is to the market, do you want to go back into Iran when it is possible Congress could become Republican in just a year and a half, or that you will have a different resident in the White House in 2025 who will bring all the sanctions back again?
The Europeans, especially Berlin, Paris, and London, are they laying markers in any particular direction at this point? We have about a minute, Richard.
They have been for returning to the nuclear deal from the very beginning. They outlasted the Trump administration diplomatically to maintain their posture for the Iran nuclear deal. They want to trade with Iran. There's varying degrees of who really is committed to the trade with Iran versus who just wants the policy of appeasement, which is an expedient foreign policy to not have to have a confrontation. The Brits and the French are sort of into this appeasement posture at the moment. The Germans want to make money in Iran. Their car companies, their engineering companies, and they're very forward-leaning to get back into Iran trade.
Richard Goldberg, Senior Advisor of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.